Jill.
Oh, she's 19.
I'm trying to do all this mental arithmetic.
She was 19 in September 3rd of 81.
And okay.
Katie.
Oh, there's another girl.
Yes, third is Katie Joe is 12.
Mm-hmm.
She was 12 in 81. And, all right, we're very proud of the fact that Sherry is a third-year student at Williams, full scholarship student, which we think is a great achievement.
Mm-hmm.
And Laurie is a full as a scholarship student at Skidmore. They're both ballet dancers.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. And your third daughter is Naomi.
Naomi Armstrong.
Armstrong.
And they have a four-year-old, little Annie.
Oh, what's her husband's name?
Leslie. L-E-S-L-I.
Okay, now this is a kind of sensitive question, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but what was your reaction to two daughters marrying non-Jews?
Well, when Carol dated a non-Jew when she was 19, I was...
Do you want this on, or
doesn't
do you...
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I was very surprised, because even though our friends were all, for the most part, non-Jews, because we didn't have a social life outside of school, and therefore everybody in school were friends. That was our social life. So when Carol brought this young man home, I was surprised, and poor gal, she threw up. She was so shocked that I would even think that there was a difference. After that, it was very easy.
Okay, or I was just curious. Yeah. I know she's very Jewish, and she's raising her children as Jews, and she belongs to a congregation
and so on.
Naomi is also raising her children
as
Jews. I forgot the name of your grandchild, Armstrong.
Annie. As a matter of fact, Naomi, who is a teacher, a kindergarten teacher, and carried around a little Christmas tree for our students to have. Now she would like to eliminate Christmas single-handed.
Did you have any religious observances in the home?
Well, we did not light the candles Friday night. We always observed the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Really observed them. We looked for people to bring into the home so they could have... Mm-hmm.
I know you told me, when I asked you if you were involved in any organizations, that you were both very busy. Any kind of organization in the life that you were involved in, cultural, not just religious?
I spoke for Hadassah. I spoke for the organizations. I still do down in Florida. Did I belong to any other organizations? No, excepting the business, the education.
No,
I belonged to the Doctoral Association of the University of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all in terms of my work.
Mm-hmm. What about you? Were you a member of B'nai B'rith or any organization?
I'm members, is it?
Well, you should have told me.
Zionists.
Oh, so you have joined these various organizations.
Yes.
Oh, and we belong to ORT.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm curious. B'nai B'rith?
Yes.
Anything else? Where do you live now in Florida?
We live in Palm Beach County. We live in Ocean Ridge, Florida.
Are you in any organizations there?
Let's see. Are we yet? Oh, we go to Temple. We haven't yet decided on an affiliation, but our little four-year-old goes to Temple Sunday kindergarten.
The Armstrongs live near you?
Yeah, 8 miles from here.
Incidentally, we bought, on the way while we were running our school, Duff's was running the trouble. Duff's is the oldest existing business school in the country, and they were falling apart, and we took them over.
Yeah, that's school.
Where? In Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, yes.
And they were incorporated into your school?
No, never will.
You ran it separately?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, our
when
ran
was
it.
This?
When did we take it? Well, it's a school that Bill owns now.
Bill Ferguson took it over.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Then we
owned the Dale Carnegie franchise.
I was the Dale Carnegie franchise in Western Pennsylvania. From in the 1950s until 52 to 65.
Oh,
and
oh,
I took the
so Dale, you have been busy.
Yes. And we had an I took
school.
The Dale Carnegie course, introduced the Dale Carnegie course to the island of Jamaica. I was...
Wait, maybe there's a special place we can put this, because you were telling me that you were honored by Jamaica. Tell me about this Jamaican experience.
I introduced the Dale Carnegie course to Jamaica.
When was this?
About 58.
It was the first
adult
education program brought to the island.
Is this after Jamaica became independent?
No, just before.
I introduced it with some publicity and a public demonstration of the course to explain what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Usually you get 50, 100, 200 people out for these demonstrations. 3,000 Jamaicans come out in the island of Kingston to a hotel.
So did you open a school there sometimes?
We started classes. We run classes in hotels. For 8 years, we had about
four classes going on.
Well, did you commute back and forth?
Yeah.
I sent instructors in.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you were the administrative head.
Yes,
you didn't
yes,
personally
yes.
have to teach
yes.
the classes.
I'd teach sometimes, but I'd send other instructors in. Mm-hmm. And we had about 2,000 Jamaicans take the Dale Carnegie course. Then we took it there because we were visiting. And when someone heard about the Dale Carnegie course, they said, we need this for independence.
Mm-hmm.
The English have not left us with any leadership. So the Dale Carnegie course is a leadership training program. And, the University of the West Indies began talking about giving me a doctorate. In the meantime, a university in Tennessee,
Steed
College in Tennessee, had given an honorary doctorate to Dale Carnegie. And they heard about the chairman of the board there was also a Dale Carnegie sponsor, and he gave me an honorary doctorate.
Lovely. So did you get one in Jamaica anyway?
No, I didn't.
That was for what was done in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, Dorothy, would you tell me a little bit about your various books?
Oh, the first book I wrote was How to Make Your Emotions Work for You, published by Farrar Straus.
When?
In 1952. The Berkeley Press published a paperback and republished in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
Then I wrote...
Do you have that? It was published in a hardback first?
Yes, hardback.
It sold 40,000 copies and a paperback of 25,000 copies.
My first book
But
was
in the 1960s, it was translated, and this is a paperback.
And this is the title, How to Make Your Emotions Work for You?
Oh, 1960 was translated into Italian, and 1970 it translated into Portuguese.
Mm.
And every year for 10 years, the Italian religious bookstores printed and sold 2,000 copies.
And 1976, you have a second book.
1976, that was
Well, now, wait, before
yeah.
that...
That's what
yeah.
Dale Carnegie
yeah.
said about this book.
Oh, was this your PhD dissertation?
No, it isn't a dissertation.
It's the result.
Just based on my research.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was your dissertation on?
The occupational adjustments of the beginning office worker.
Okay. I'm going to hear that on the tape.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. I know the kinds of sounds. And this is your second book?
This was written
No,
in
I'm
going to
tell you the second
yeah.
book. The first book I really, if my dissertation was published as the award was the publication of my dissertation, and it was required reading in New York State.
Oh,
training
when was your dissertation published?
1941. And then my first book was Prentice Hall, published a college course on secretarial duties.
Oh, so this, How to Make Your Emotions Work for You, is not your first
book.
No,
it wasn't my first book. It was 52.
It's the first popular book.
Okay.
Yeah, the other
and then, okay, your first was your dissertation. Then your second was a textbook.
Textbooks. College course on secretary of duties.
And
Hall.
So this is your third book, How to Make Your Emotions.
Then.
This was really your second book before, wasn't it?
What, darling?
Following your
yeah, then this book.
This was second book.
And then I... No, darling, we're talking about the dissertation was one.
Yeah, this
was
wasn't this right after your dissertation?
Yeah.
Oh, pardon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was co-author of a book, Systems and Procedures for Automated Accounting.
Mm-hmm.
I was a co-author, mm-hmm. published by Southwestern. And then in 1963, Program Course in Medical Terminology, was a co-author. Mm-hmm. And then The Liberated Grandmother.
Okay, that sounds very interesting. The others are technical, but The Liberated Grandmother, that's a real catchy title. Is that a paperback?
Paperback, yes.
Well, who published it?
A Prince publication.
Prince Communications.
Yeah. And then
when was that published, The Liberated Grandmother?
1876.
I like the title. One of these days I'm going to be a liberated grandmother.
Yes. And then The Triumph of Age, which Herb and I collaborated with.
Oh, hardback.
Hardback.
But how come only your name's on it?
Well, actually, it was my thesis. He helped.
When was that published?
1979. Triumph of Age. The subtitle is How to Be Youthful and Happy in Retirement.
Who published it? Follett.
Follett.
Wow.
That's it, dear.
One more question. Wait, I have... How do you view your accomplishments, successes, and failures?
I have succeeded beyond my wildest imagination. I look back and wonder... I don't wonder how it happened. I realize that so much of life are a series of accidents.
Now, when you were in high school, a teacher one day asked students to fill in a card saying what they wanted to be.
And I said teacher, and she shook her head.
She picked up the card and
despair. You'll never make it, sister.
Herbert, how do you view your accomplishments, successes, and failures?
First, I'd like to say too that to go back to Dorothy and add the fact that her success was due to a good self-image. The idea that she failure doesn't enter her mind. She preaches that.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that we should use our strengths instead of our weaknesses, avoid our weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
This is something in industry. She used it to build a school with. Industry's just begun to pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
So and a deep interest in other people.
Mm-hmm. How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community now, in contrast to, let us say, the past?
It seems to me, and I wasn't part of it, but it seems to me that the German Jews had this town by the throat.
And now?
No, we think all
Jews.
Now I think
that the Hitler brought them to their senses. German Jews would like to hear me say this, but I believe that.
You believe that all Jews now...
How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life since you grew up here, in contrast to the past?
I've always felt there was a good, rich Jewish life here.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling that there was, well, I was going to say there was less anti-Semitism, except that we found in placing people on jobs early in the time, it was difficult to get people in.
Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't even cover that because there isn't a specific question, but that's a very important point since you were placing people in business.
Uh-huh.
You placed a Jewish person, first of all, she had to be better.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be better. And I was brought up with that. My father said, a goy a shika. Do you know that goy is a shika? A yid a shika.
The generalization from the individual to the group.
We had to. We owed it to our people to be better.
So when you got Jewish students, what did you do?
Help them in this way. That when I had a call and they said, I want a Catholic, then they got a Catholic. If they didn't say, then I stuck a Jew in.
Mm-hmm.
But she had to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Because
so in other words, your school offered placement as part of its training.
We
survived on that.
School.
Well,
completely.
I wish I could say that about the schools I've gone to.
I know, but that's what we said.
A private
business. Now, my very last question, because, you know, we've been sitting here for over an hour and a half. What other information would you like to cover or add?
I think I have said it. I took the opportunity to say what I think education is or should be, and what I in the schools, and what it should be in the home. And I think that it's a cruel world outside, and that we have to help our children accept themselves as they are and build on that, instead of overcoming our weaknesses, which we all have, is to build on our strength.
Mm-hmm. Herbert, do you have anything you would like to cover or add?
Dorothy always preaches, know yourself, accept yourself, and like yourself.
Oh, where? That's wonderful.
That's part of this book. And
I like that. Know yourself.
Accept yourself.
Accept yourself.
And like yourself.
And you like yourself.
She was one of the pioneers. This book and
remember Joshua Liebman's
Joshua
book.
Liebman's
Joshua Loaf Liebman.
Came
Peace
out,
of
came
mind.
Came out the same time.
Uh-huh.
And we were asked to think of, to begin to work on an in-law book.
Yes.
We gave it up because we learned the publishers were afraid to touch it. And
we didn't get a market. We got to the point where we wanted advances. But what did we call it?
The editor, one of our editors, the three of us were sitting around talking about this book, and Dorothy wasn't saying anything, and he was saying, what do you think about marriages are made by parents? Mm-hmm. Well, I said, by God, that would never be accepted today. And we went back and forth on a lot of things, and the editor looked at Dorothy and said, well, it's your book. What do you say? Dorothy leaned back and she said, through example, parents should teach their children to know themselves, accept themselves, and like themselves. And if you do that, you're ready for life.
I want to thank you very, very much for giving me all this time.
Where are you going?